Good morning, everybody. Only one notice from me today, you'll be pleased to know. Just to let you know that weekly notice sheets have commenced from today. They are available in the meeting room, so make sure you will take one at the end of the service because I will no longer be emailing the notices out to you. They will be in there every Sunday. Okay, thank you. Thank you, David.
Good morning. We begin with Scripture, Psalm 118. Open for me the gates of the righteous. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous may enter. I will give you thanks, for you answered me. You have become my salvation. The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvellous in our eyes. The Lord has done it this very day. Let us rejoice today and be glad. Well, I hope you've already realised by what you've got in your hand, I hope, that today is Palm Sunday. And today is a reminder. It's a day of celebration, a day to rejoice and be glad. So I'd like to tell you about it in a little bit more detail. It's to be found, what I'm going to say, in the Gospel of Matthew. Chapter 21. Listen to this. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with a colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to the daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." Well, I hope that you've sensed some of the excitement of those people, because I want to share it with them now, with this litany for Palm Sunday. There it is. It's obvious, really. I'll read the words in the lighter print, and if you'll say the words in the darker print. It's a bit different for us, this, but I want you to be enthusiastic. Hosanna! Lord Jesus Christ, we raise these palms to greet your coming, these crosses to adore your love. Shepherd, King of Peace,
we greet your coming to us.
Eternal King of Kings,
may your kingdom come.
Royal King of Love, we've lost some. There we are. Royal King of Love. We believe
in the sign of your cross, you will conquer.
Gladly we affirm,
Jesus Christ is
Lord. Hosanna.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the
Lord. And so we're going to sing our first song, Hosanna, Hosanna.
Oh, we lift up your name.
Isn't enough, we're now going to sing "You Are the King of Glory." Thank you. Song now. You might not know this next one. This was written by a man called, put it on for me, let me see it. Yeah. This was written by a man called Ishmael, and it really is it was written for children, really. It's got actions, and Beth's going to show you what the actions are. Now, you can take part in this if you want to. That's it. Thank you. You can take part if you want to, or you can just laugh at watch Beth. That it's easy enough, and it's to be enjoyed. Blessed is the King who comes.
Blessed is the King that comes in the name of is the King that comes in the name of the Lord. Majestic is the King that comes in the name of the Lord. Majestic is the King that comes in the name of the Lord. Majestic is the King that comes in the name of the Lord. Majestic is the King that comes. The Lord, a peace in heaven, a glory in the highest. When mouths stay closed, the stones will cry out. A peace in heaven, a glory in the highest. When mouths stay closed, the stones will cry out. Majestic is the King that comes in the name of the Lord. Majestic is the King that comes in the name of the Lord. Triumphant is the King that comes in the name of the Lord. Triumphant is the King that comes in the name of the Lord. Triumphant is the King that comes. Triumphant is the King that comes in the name of the Lord. A peace in heaven, a glory in the highest. When mouths stay closed, the stones will cry out. A peace in heaven, a glory in the highest. When mouths stay closed, the stones triumphant is the King that comes in the name of the Lord. Triumphant is the King that comes in the name of the Lord.
Well done. You can have a little rest now. Now let's come to God in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, loving Heavenly Father, we give you praise and we honour your name. We come to worship you on this special day, a day that begins a week of contrasts for us. Strangely, we move from hope to despair to hope again. It's a wonderful week. As we begin this week, as we join with the crowd on that first Palm Sunday, help us to cut through all the fuss and all the noise to see what's really happening, to see and understand what's at stake. And as the story unfolds, help us to be open to both the hope and the pain. In this time of worship, prepare us to celebrate, to weep, to wait. For we pray in the name, we worship in the name of the one who leads the parade, and we share the words that he shared with his closest friends as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. We've got one more song before the young people go out, if you're going out, to your classes this morning. And this is another song that was written for children. For young people. But it was written for children a long time ago. And this is the sort of song that was a modern song when I was your age at Sunday school. So the old people are laughing because they realise how old I am. But anyway, it's a great song. And it's all about Palm Sunday. And it says, children of Jerusalem sang the praise of Jesus' name, children too of modern days joined to sing the Saviour's praise. If you don't know it, you'll soon learn it. We shall stand to sing. Thank you, Brian. Time now, if you want to, for the boys and girls to leave us. And I do believe there's special classes being prepared just for you. And do you want to go out? Do you want to go out, kids? It'll be more fun out there than it is in here. Come on. Do you want to go? That's it. Go on. There you go. A word of prayer. Father, we thank you for the gift of children. We thank you for all that we can teach them and all that we learn from them. We pray your blessing on these children now as they go into their classes to learn more about you and to enjoy your company. So bless them, for we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. I want to share a meditation with you now. But first, I want to set the scene a little. I want a little bit of history, if you like. It goes way back. In the year 164 BC, a victorious Judas Maccabeus rode into Jerusalem. He purged the temple of the heathen desecrations, and he established religious freedom. The rededication of the temple is still celebrated today in the Jewish church with the festival of Chanukah. We're celebrating it now. The meditation is all about the donkey. Jesus came riding to make Jerusalem choose. It was deliberately planned and staged, recalling Maccabean liberation and Zechariah's prophecy. Cleansing the temple on the following day underlined the parallel. The people went wild and sang the song their fathers sang to welcome Maccabeus. But they didn't see the donkey. The Romans saw the donkey and were glad it was a peaceful demonstration. The city was packed and highly charged, like a tinderbox waiting for a spark. The zealots saw the donkey and were bitterly disappointed. They hoped he'd ride a warlike horse, not a docile donkey. But the people saw only a victory parade, riding as Zechariah promised, and welcomed him just like a king. When Jesus comes riding, he claims to be king. For only a king may ride into the city. All others must dismount in deference. This is the King of Glory, but not such glory as Rome, Jerusalem, or even we ourselves would think. No pomp or splendour, no finery or trappings of majesty, and certainly no sapphire throne. True glory is in service, with a towel and a basin, in obedience in the garden, in self-sacrifice on the cross. This unexpected and surprising king turns our ideas and values upside down. He comes on a donkey with the secret of peace, peace on earth, peace in society, and peace in church, peace of mind, and peace with God. And the secret of his peace is not a sword, but a cross. Not peace at any price. For some things he must stand against, and others he must stand for. Against any prejudice of race or class, of religion or gender, against possessiveness, against profiteering or power seeking. And for the way of love, of service and sacrifice, of loving enemies and forgiving hurt, the way of non-violence that makes true reconciliation. This is the King of Love, our King, the King we welcome today. Let us pray. Holy and gracious God, you call us by name and beckon us to follow you. Help us to do so through your grace. Like a shepherd tending the flock, you tend to our needs. So we ask that you'll be present with those who struggle, suffer, are in pain or sorrow. We ask you to guide those who are lost or filled with worry and fear. We ask you to protect those who are in harm's way and heal those who are ill. Mend those who are broken, as only your love can. God of peace, watch over those who lead us in our various governments and churches. Fill our leaders with wisdom, patience, insight and mercy, and help them to lead with kindness and strength. God of love, fill our hearts with the knowledge of you, so that we can turn from the distractions of life and be more like you. Help us to be the agents of your compassion, offering kindness to all we meet. Dear God, God of all blessings, we thank you for all the gifts of life, for your Son, our Saviour, the Shepherd King, our Good Shepherd, the one who stands at the gate of all life's challenges and joys, calling out to us in love, calling out to us now. Be near to us and help us. For all this and more we pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen. And now perhaps a more familiar hymn for Palm Sunday. Ride on, ride on in majesty. Hark all the tribes, Hosanna cry. O Saviour meek, pursue thy road with palms and scattered garments strewed. Ride on in majesty. Verse, Brian. Right. What a truly wonderful day Palm Sunday is. All the excitement, the hopes, the anticipations, for them and for us, then and now. You can sense it, can't you? Well, I can. It's almost like being there. The Palm Sunday stories are very powerful stories. But you know, I have to say, I don't like the Palm Sunday stories very much at all. And I say that because they simply raise too many questions for me. Questions. In a way, we need to question, don't we? Because questioning maintains the equilibrium. It keeps the balance. It helps us to understand. How about this? It had been one of Mother's hectic days. Her small son had run her ragged. He'd been playing outside. He came in for his tea with his trousers torn. His mother took one look at him and said, "You go right inside. I'm just about fed up with you. Get in and get those trousers off. You can start mending them yourself." Sometime later, when she'd cooled down a bit, she went to see how he was getting on. The torn trousers were lying across the chair, and the door to the cellar, usually kept closed, was wide open. So she called down the stairs, loudly and sternly, "Are you running around down there without your trousers on?" "No, missus," came the reply, "I'm just reading your gas meter." Thank you. Thank you. It's questions. I'm interested in questions this morning. Questions we need to look at. Questions we need to address. Because if we don't, we're in grave danger. The danger of missing the point and getting the wrong end of the stick altogether. I mean, Palm Sunday. Think about it. Those first Palm Sunday pilgrims. They misunderstood, didn't they? Perhaps they didn't ask the right questions. Whatever. They missed the point, especially about Jesus. A bit like the devil in the wilderness, missing the point completely about Jesus and his mission. Think about it. In those days, the Jews were living under the heel of the Roman Empire. They yearned to be free. They believed with all their heart that one day God would send them a king who'd liberate them from their oppressors. It was a dream. But it was a dream which Jesus seemed to fulfill when he entered Jerusalem. All the slogans which they shouted with such enthusiasm belonged to their heritage, the zealots and Jewish nationalism. Must have been great though, And so easy to be carried along with it all. But this wasn't the way. In fact, it was the exact opposite to that which God intended. Jesus wasn't going to rule in might and splendour. Not in the way they thought, anyway. And once the penny dropped, all those who were shouting Hosanna with such vigour, suddenly, and would you believe it, within 1 week, became party to the execution of just another nobody who'd failed to satisfy their expectations. It's sad, isn't it? But you know, it's just the same today. Jesus still refuses to fall into line and be our Messiah. Get this straight. Jesus is God's Messiah, and he brings with him God's agenda. And this bothers me. It bothers me because we fail to see it time and time again. We fail to acknowledge it. Nowadays, I think it's true to say, people rely too much on themselves. We all do it. Our own intellect and abilities are supreme. We want our own way, far too much. And I suppose Baptists like you and me are guilty of this more than many others. Our precious freedom, our resistance to secular or religious authority, our drive for personal liberty, all the things which lead to a rugged sort of individualism and independency. But I'm not just talking about us, am I? Anyway, this independency has a cost. Look around and you'll soon see what cost. In fact, I'll tell you what cost. It's called community or fellowship. The aspect of communal living that's all but disappeared now. And that's the cost. We're trying to meet it some way. In the week, nowadays, with a warm place, with some warm food and some warm words. And that's good. That's good. But generally today, as I say, I think it's true to say, people look after number one nowadays. We all do it to a certain degree. And the church does it too. In many ways, the hero of our age today is the so-called self-made man or woman. People like Alan Sugar. But there's little room for God in this line of thought, and certainly no room for the Jesus who comes as the saviour of the world. I call this modern liberalism. Jesus is seen as the preacher of a rather individualistic type of salvation, which owes very little to the Bible and the love of God, but a great deal to cultural ethos, to free will, and where you find yourself as a person now. And I have to say, folks, if we fall into the trap of greeting Jesus today as the Messiah of independency and individualism, then we're committing a similar misjudgment to those who greeted him as the Messiah of Jewish nationalism. We fall prey to the trap the devil set all those years ago in the wilderness when he tried to catch Jesus out. Okay, this charismatic figure, this Jesus who drove out demons, who healed the sick, who impressed so many people with his storytelling, was certainly a man to be reckoned with, a man to follow. But when the Palm Sunday pilgrims' hopes and aspirations were not fulfilled, what happens then? The hero suddenly finds himself the victim. It's a classic case, this, of people warming to the personality but rejecting the message. It still happens. It happens to ministers in particular. There's at least three of us here this morning, and I think we can all say the same story to a certain extent. When folks say, oh, he's great, our minister. Great. Great guy. They used to say about me in Malton, oh, he's a great little man, our minister. That is until he puts a few noses out of joint by saying and doing what he feels God wants saying and doing. And then it's a different story, believe me. But we have to face facts. You see, it doesn't matter how attractively we dress the gospel up. The good news is challenging. And some people aren't going to like what it says. I'll tell you this story tongue in cheek, really. It happened a few years ago now. A man went abroad. He had to leave his much-loved dog with a servant at home. While he was away, the man received a telegram from the servant with the message saying, your dog has died. Now, if that had happened to me, I would be distraught. This man was distraught too, both at the news and the abrupt manner in which it was sent. When he got home, he really went for this servant and he told him off for not breaking the news to him more gently. The servant was confused and he asked his master how such news could possibly have been delivered more gently. Well, the man said, you could have sent a telegram first saying, your dog is stuck on the roof. This could be followed the next day with the message, your dog fell from the roof and is not at all well. Later, a third message could have said, your beloved dog has gone to his eternal reward. See, it's easy. Sometime later, the man went abroad again. While he was there, he received the following telegram. Your mother's stuck on the roof. Even now, amongst some Christians, there's still the naive notion that if the gospel is presented in the right package, then the church is guaranteed success. Poppycock. We are not running a business here. This is the church. This is God's church. Okay, we have a gospel to proclaim and we want others to accept it. And we should certainly present it in the best way we can. That's obvious. But we must also be aware of the danger of making the presentation too flash or too glib or too easy. So much so that we forget that the gospel challenges people's lives. There has to be a change, a turnaround, a fresh start. Think again. The Palm Sunday pilgrims could and did hail Jesus as king. But later, they not only spurned his message, they killed him when they hung him on a cross. In an age which often seems to be trying to build the future around individuals who convey the right image, the Jesus we present to others must be the Jesus of the New Testament, not the Jesus trimmed down to fit our comfortable convictions. Read the New Testament. See what it says. See what he says. Earth-shattering it is sometimes. Another thing that bothers me about Palm Sunday, that so often it's a day of mistaken triumphalism. The real triumph came the following Friday, after the hero worship was over, when a man abandoned by everyone, even by God, died on a cross. Surely, an event which causes us to drop to our knees in repentance, rather than wave our arms aloft in praise. Because here we see the divine majesty who became a man so that he could die for us. Jesus, King Messiah, the Saviour of the world. But what is a Saviour? Nowadays, we want strong leadership, don't we? And that's a church meeting quote. We want firm defence, we want clear policies, we want material prosperity for everyone. And the politicians try to offer these things all the time. They never manage it. But these are the marks of a successful society. So what price then a strategy that says, in effect, that defeat in the eyes of the world is success in terms of God's purposes? You know, it's very difficult, even for committed Christians, to accept that at the heart of Christianity, according to secular standards, lies a failed leader. We're tempted to prefer the model of the supposed triumphalism of Palm Sunday. But the one God raised to life was the crucified Jesus, not the Jesus invented by secular society. Palm branches or no, it has to be said, in our world today, many people die before they've had time to grow old. And as a church, don't we know that as a fact? Countless people today are oppressed by causes and tyrants beyond their control. And the majority arguably suffer more than those who sin against them from the sins that they themselves commit. But that's the way the world is. So surely, such a world will rejoice over the triumph of God's action in Christ on the cross. This must be something we can all identify with. God suffered with Jesus on the cross. He still suffers, even now with us, today's victims and oppressed. And it's this special redemptive relationship that draws us closer and closer together with each other and with him. So what this means then is that triumphalist notions of God are not fully adequate, however much we like to celebrate Palm Sunday. And yet it's precisely such notions that flow from the lips of people like us as we hop from the triumph of Palm Sunday to the triumph of Easter Sunday without stepping off to take on board the hard realities of Good Friday and the week we call holy. It's so easy to become like those Palm Sunday pilgrims of old who greeted Jesus, folks who sang Hosanna one day and shouted Crucify the next. All too easily, we can miss the point about Jesus. And when we do miss the point completely of our Lord's Messiahship, we too can fall into the trap of hailing the man but ignoring the message. So let's think again. I invite you all to think again today. Let's think about Palm Sunday. Let's think about what it meant for Jesus, what it meant for those around him, and what it meant for those pilgrims in the way. But more importantly, let's think again about what it means for us today as we walk the way together from today through the week to next Sunday when we celebrate again a risen Jesus and an empty tomb. May God bless you. Amen. Let's pray. Almighty God, as we sing our hosannas today and wave our palms, may we also remember that which you were riding towards, the suffering and rejection, the pain and humiliation, and the cruel cross. But also help us to look forward to the joy of Easter Day, when you rose from death to live and reign forever. Help us. Help us, O God, as we daily lay our lives before you, to live the resurrection life that acknowledges Jesus as Lord and King over our lives, now and for always. Amen. We're going to sing our concluding hymn, Brian, thank you. I was worried about Brian. Brian's had a fall. He wouldn't tell you, but I'm going to tell you. Brian had a fall this week, and he doesn't remember that he's no longer 34, and there's a few more years gone by. And I was really worried that he wouldn't be able to play this morning. But he assures me he can, and he has. And I thank you, Brian, for doing that. And I thank you for this last hymn. This is a belter, if ever there was one. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess him, King of glory now. Let's stand and sing together. Now to him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you without blemish before the presence of his glory with rejoicing. To the only God, our Saviour, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion and authority, now and for ever and ever. Amen.